This morning we are continuing our series of messages through what is called the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 under the title, Your Blessed Life Now. How can we live a life of God's blessing? We've seen that this idea of being blessed is not necessarily in material goods, not necessarily with perfect health, but rather to be blessed, according to the scripture, is to be the recipient of God's favor and to know that we are in His favor is to live our blessed life now. Everything Jesus mentions here about being blessed means we have received God's favor. We have received His grace. And in fact, we have seen that these conditions of blessing are not things we conjure up ourselves. They're not things we work on. These are things that God, through the Holy Spirit, gives to us. And that is what makes us blessed. Now, you'll find there is a lot of leadership training and development. It's really become a thriving business in our society. Books are published, seminars are held on the subject, all bringing in millions of dollars a year to the self-proclaimed gurus of management. Follow this system, they assure you, and the whole world will be yours. Well, what makes a good leader? Most people would say assurance, assertiveness, vision, courage, communication skills. These are all needed for an effective leader. But rarely, if ever, would the term meekness be used in one of these books or seminars describing a good leader. If you want to conquer the world, meekness isn't even going to make the list. One author says, "Who wants to be meek?" Meekness immediately conjures up the picture of a weak, anemic, effeminate sissy. It conjures up someone who is mousy, a Casper milk toast, who just appears and then slides back into the shadows. Someone you can stomp on. And yet Jesus said, in Matthew 5, verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Not only does he call the meek blessed, he says eventually you're going to have it all. The whole world will be yours. Not the assertive, aggressive, assured folks coming out of a leadership seminar. No, the meek will inherit the earth. And we think, what in the world is he talking about? So let's take a look at the condition of blessing. Jesus says, blessed are the meek. What does that mean? Well, let's start with what it doesn't mean. Meekness is not weakness. That's what a lot of people think of. When you think of meekness, you automatically think of weakness. Someone that is quiet, reserved, shy, kind of disappears in a crowd, not one that you really notice. Meekness is not being wishy-washy, not being indecisive or timid. A meek person is not so unsure of himself that he can be pushed over by a hard slap with a wet noodle. That's not what we mean by meek. Still less should meekness be confused with mere friendliness. Some people are just by nature nice and easygoing. They kind of go with the flow, but you know, some dogs are that way too. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. Nowhere in the Bible does meekness give the connotation of being spiritless or timid. Meekness is actually just the opposite. The word used in the Bible for meek is that of a wild horse that's been tamed. And a horse, as you may know, has tremendous strength. Horse is one of the most powerful animals on earth. Horses are not weak. Horses have power under control. And that's what meekness is. It's not the lack of power, it's power under control. There's two verses that really spell out the difference here. And they both come from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 16:32 says, "Better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city." That is power under control. Someone who has control of his temper, has control of his feelings, that doesn't get carried away in the moment. That strength. That is what meekness means. Now, on the other hand, Proverbs 25:28 says, "Like a city whose walls are broken down is the man who lacks self-control." Here is power out of control. And when we cannot control our impulses, when we cannot control the decisions we make under duress, when we are emotional, sometimes we think of that as a strong person. They speak their mind and they let their feelings go. Actually, that's not strength, that's weakness. Strength is being able to control that. And not letting loose with a verbal or a physical barrage when you feel like it. Someone who is meek has that under control. Meekness is not simply being submissive because you have no other choice. Meekness is strength, accompanied by humility and a genuine dependence on God. True meekness belongs to those who could assert themselves but choose not to. Not those who don't have any choice. True meekness comes for those who have all right to say something and choose not to. They have the right to do something, but they choose not to. It's not about asserting yourself. Now, that's something our world thinks is a great virtue. You've got to assert yourself. You got to stand up for your rights. You got to look out for number one. You know, in the Bible, nowhere do you see self-assertion as a virtue. We're not just out to advance our own personal agenda. I like the way Max Lucado puts it. He says, "Blessed are those who are harnessed. Blessed are those who recognize their God-given responsibilities. Blessed are those who acknowledge that there's only one God and have quit applying for his position. Blessed are those who know what on earth they are on earth to do and set themselves to the business of doing it. Blessed are those who are able to discern what is best." The Greek adjective that's used here can also mean gentle, humble, considerate, or courteous. It's exercising self-control, without which these qualities would be impossible. Meekness really speaks a lot about self-control. It's about a disciplined life. And the disciple of Jesus Christ has to be disciplined. We have to have our emotions and our thoughts and our actions under control. I like the way William Barclay rewords this verse. "Blessed is the man who has every instinct, every impulse, every passion under control. Blessed is the man who is entirely self-controlled." But then he quickly adds, The moment we've stated that, we see it needs a change, because it is not so much a blessing to the man who is self-controlled, for such self-control is beyond human capacity. Rather, it is the blessing of the man who is completely God-controlled. For only in his service do we find our perfect freedom, and in doing his will, we find our peace. So this is really talking about the spirit-controlled life. You've probably heard that phrase, be filled with the Spirit. Or you may hear someone described as being a spirit-filled person. That doesn't mean that they're bubbly and vivacious and very expressive. To be spirit-filled means you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit. It means you're under his control. That's what we're talking about here. And you may remember that in the fruit of the Spirit that is listed in Galatians 5, what's the last one listed? Self-control. I find it ironic or humorous, however you want to put it. Little Galilee Camp is building a new dining hall. And those of you that are familiar with the camp know that all of the cabins and buildings are named for fruit of the Spirit. There's the love cabin and the peace cabin and the joy cabin. And when they came to the dining hall, they call it self-control. I think that's a challenge. But this self-control is actually something the Spirit enables us to do. It is only by the Spirit of God that we can control ourselves. And as we grow in the image of Christ, we become more disciplined. We become more in control of how we express ourselves, how we react to situations. And we will demonstrate this meekness that Jesus talks about in this verse. Meekness is also an attitude of the mind. It has been defined as an attitude of humility toward God and gentleness toward people, springing from the recognition that God is in control. When we understand who God is, we understand that he is sovereign, he is in control. We respond to him in humility, and we respond to others in gentleness. Remember that I said that meekness comes when we have the right to act, but we choose not to. Think about those times when people wrong us, and we have the right to retaliate. We have the right to strike back. The meek person doesn't. Why? Because we know God is in control and we know God's going to take care of it. We don't have to strike back. God will do a better job of it than we could. And so we put it in his hands. So it is a recognition of God's sovereignty that leads to humility toward God. I like how Max Lucado said, we quit applying for his position. And gentleness towards others. We can treat people with love and mercy and grace and let God deal with the justice and the retribution. Because he has said in his word, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Let me take care of it. And the meek person understands that and lets God do it. See, meekness not only deals with my relationship to God, it also deals in my relationship to others. And the way that it expresses itself is an attitude of respect. We respect other people. We may not agree with them. We may not agree with what they're doing. But understand this. Every single person, regardless of their lifestyle, regardless of choices they make, regardless of their personality, every single person is created in the image of God and is a soul for whom Christ died. When we can understand that, then when we come across people who rub us the wrong way, people who really irritate us by what they do or maybe what they say, how they relate to us. Rather than slapping a label on them and casting them aside, we look at them as someone of value. Here is someone created in God's image for whom Jesus Christ died. And that alone gives them value. That alone makes them worthy of being treated with respect and treated with love and honor to serve them. Even if we don't like them, yeah, even if we don't like them. Even if we don't agree with what they're doing, yes, even if we don't agree with what they're doing. Why? Because God's going to take care of that. God will deal with those things. Leave it to Him. Our job is to love and to treat other people with respect and kindness and gentleness. The man who is truly meek is the one who is amazed that God can think of him as well as he does and treats him as well as he does. The meek man was the tax collector who was off in the corner, wouldn't even look up to God and said, "Oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner." That's meekness. That's realizing who we are before Almighty God. The Pharisee who was standing up and praying loudly about himself, "Oh, I thank God. I'm not like other people. I'm not like that tax collector over there." He flunked the test of meekness. Big fat zero. Not even 1 point. You know, the Bible provides us some examples of meekness. Back in Numbers 12, verse 3, we read, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." Now, I think most people would think Moses is a great leader. And the conception we have of Moses is this strong, assertive Charlton Heston standing before Pharaoh saying, "Let my people go." And yet the Bible describes him as meek. Now, again, I don't think that Moses was wishy-washy. I don't think he was milquetoast. I think he had a lot of strength. I think Moses was a brilliant man, highly educated, very capable, but it was all under control. And it was under the control of God. And that's what made him meek. You know, there are several times throughout the wilderness wanderings where Moses had the right to take action against people. We're told that when he married Zipporah, his brother and sister didn't care for his selection, and they were bad-mouthing him. He had the right as the leader of Israel to call them out and even pronounce judgment on them, but he didn't. He let God take care of it. There were times when God went to Moses and said, "I've had it. I'm going to wipe these people out, start over with you." If I had been Moses, I'd have said, "Let me step back, go right ahead." But Moses said, "No, no, Lord, don't do that. Forgive their sin." You wouldn't want word to go back to Egypt that you brought your people out of Egypt just to kill them in the desert. He stood up for them. That's meekness. It's not taking advantage of what's rightfully mine for my own benefit. It's looking out for the interests of others. Moses was an example of biblical meekness, but I think the supreme example is Jesus himself. This same man who said, "Blessed are the meek," said of himself in Matthew 11, 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." You know, this is the only place where Jesus describes his character, and he uses the word meek. In fact, it's the same Greek word that's used in Matthew 5. Consider this description Paul gave in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. I always wondered what that phrase, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, what does that mean? I don't get that. Here's the idea being communicated. Jesus knew he was God. And as God, he could have enforced his will on the people. But he chose not to. We talk about someone throwing their weight around. Jesus could have thrown his weight around as God and done whatever he wanted. I think of that classic hymn, he could have called 10,000 angels that would have set him free, but he didn't. That's meekness. That's strength under control. That's not asserting my own agenda, but doing God's will, even at the expense of myself. So, well, how can I pull this off? You can't. Don't try. This isn't something you can do. This is something you receive. Because when the Spirit of God comes into your life, he wants to produce fruit. He wants to produce evidence of his existence. He wants to demonstrate that he is at work in your life, and he will produce a character in you, part of which is meekness. Self-control. That's something that the Holy Spirit does in you. That's not something you do yourself. Remember, these Beatitudes are not a list of New Year's resolutions that I'm going to try hard to do. No. You're blessed because the Spirit of God in you does these things. Allow him to work. Allow him to reform you, to transform you into the image of Christ. And that's the kind of person you're going to become. We need to be careful that we don't harbor a false sense of spiritual humility. John Stott speaks of this when he confesses, I myself am quite happy to recite the general confession in church and call myself a miserable sinner. It causes me no great problem. I can take it in stride. But let someone else come up and say that I'm a miserable sinner and I want to punch him in the nose. In other words, I am not prepared to allow other people to think or speak of me what I have just acknowledged before God that I am. There's a basic hypocrisy here, and there always is where meekness is absent. When we're truly meek, we understand not only who other people are, but who we are. And we allow that to govern how we respond. True meekness acknowledges our unworthiness, not only before God, but before others as well. See, meekness always implies a teachable spirit. Somebody with a know-it-all attitude is the exact opposite of a meek individual. So let's take a look at what it means when Jesus says the meek will inherit the earth, the consequence of being blessed. Now, the Greek word here means to receive something of considerable value which has not been earned. That's important. An inheritance is not something you work for. An inheritance is not yours because of your brilliance or your skill. An inheritance is something you get because you happen to be in the family you're in. And that wasn't even your choice. An inheritance is not something we work for, it's something we receive. Once again, it is by grace. The meekness is by grace. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. The inheritance we will receive is by grace. We see the same term for inherit found in Hebrews 6:12. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. That's a key word. An inheritance is something that is passed on from one generation to the next, usually when the former passes away. What do you have to do to receive it? Nothing. Outside of some silly Hollywood plot where heirs have to, you know, do these impossible things in order to get the inheritance, that's not real life. In real life, the person that has passed away has a will, and they distribute their assets as an inheritance to those who are surviving. An inheritance is generally not based on what a person does, but what a person is. And it's the same true here. The riches promised to the child of God are not there because of what we have done. It's there because of who we are in Christ. Remember Ephesians 2, 8 and 9? It is by grace we are saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. What we are in Christ is because of who He is, not because of who we are. It's not something we have earned. It's something we have received by grace. And what will the meek inherit? Jesus does not say the meek will inherit heaven. Jesus says the meek will inherit the earth. This earth. The whole thing. So, well, when's that going to happen? Well, the short version is this. One day, Jesus Christ Himself will come back to this earth. And He is going to establish His kingdom on this earth. He will rule the whole world. He will accomplish what all of the emperors of history have tried and failed. They wanted world domination. Jesus is going to do it. And when He does it, we are going to rule and reign with Him. The meek. Not the assertive, not the aggressive, the meek. Why? Because we have received His grace. So you say, that's great. What do we do in the meantime? In the meantime, we bide God's time. We trust in Him. When we are wronged, we turn it over to Him. When there is injustice, we turn it over to Him. Don't take matters into your own hands. Don't try to make something wrong right through our own efforts. Remember that old saying when you're growing up, two wrongs don't make a right? Two rights make an airplane, but two wrongs don't make a right. Leave it in God's hands. Say, how can I do that? Well, very briefly, turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, another place where meekness is found. Psalm 37 is a psalm of David. And he tells us what it means to be meek. And then he ends with some very familiar words. Psalm 37, do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Here's the first one. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Here's another one. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him. And He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from wrath and turn from anger. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. For evil men will be cut off. But here it is. Those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. I think Jesus was thinking about that verse when he said, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." He's practically quoting Psalm 37:11. What does it mean to be meek? Well, he gave us several steps there. Trust in the Lord, delight in the Lord, commit your way to the Lord, rest in the Lord, wait on the Lord. Let Him deal with it. Don't fret. Don't take matters into your own hands. And you know what happens when you live that way? You find yourself at peace. You're not always all worked up and worried and fretting and fussing and scheming and plotting and planning and a bunch of stuff that doesn't work. Just relax. Let God take care of it. Just think of that old Saturday morning cartoon, Roadrunner and Coyote. You ever notice the Roadrunner never seems to be worried? He doesn't have a care in the world. He's just going beep, beep and running all over the place. It's the coyote that's always plotting and scheming. He's got all this stuff from the Acme Company, and you know, he's going to blow up and crush and whatever. Never works. Not one time. I think there's a lesson to be learned there. Don't be like the coyote. Don't worry. Don't fret. Don't plot and scheme. Let God handle it. You just enjoy yourself. Enjoy the life God gives. And one day, we're going to have it all. We're going to inherit it all. Not because of what we've done, but because of who He is. And the fact that we have received His grace. Now, as we've said before, these promises are only true for those who have received God's grace. And so I'm going to ask you this morning, have you received His grace? Have you humbly said, "Lord, I can't do this on my own, but I'm coming to You. Forgive me of my sin. Take it away. Fill me with Your Spirit. Make me Your child. I receive the gift of Your Son, Jesus, and what He did for me on the cross." That's step one. Now, it's not step last. That's step one. It's the beginning of a new life. But it has to start there. If you haven't done that, you need to. If you've already done that, but you find yourself fretting and fussing and worrying and carrying on about everything that's going on around you, relax. Let God handle it. Don't try to do it yourself. I guarantee you, you'll mess it up. Trust me, I know because I've done it enough myself. Give it to God. He'll take care of it. Would you bow with me as we close in prayer? Heavenly Father, this is a revolutionary concept because in our world, the meek are not valued. The meek are not honored. Father, I pray that You would help us to allow Your Spirit to work in us to produce that meekness, that humility, to give us that control over our emotions, over our urges to make things right, to assert ourselves. May we be the kind of people that please you. May we be the humble recipients of your grace, that we may live our blessed life now. We thank you for what you have done and what you will continue to do. Thank you for the promises of your word that never change. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.